I'm here with Alexander McCurse, editor-in-chief of The Duran. Alexander, let's talk about the U.S.-China trade deal, and let's break it down a little bit. What do you think of the deal? Who do you think came out ahead? Who do you think lost? Was it even? Was it a draw? What's your take on the phase one being wrapped up?
My own personal view about this is that in terms of the actual overarching trade negotiations between China and the U.S., it was not so much a draw as a ceasefire, a drawing back on each side. But in terms of the politics and the optics of this, the person who's come who's won has been Donald Trump. Now let's just deal with the agreement itself. What has happened is that the Chinese have made all kinds of promises to buy vast amounts of American goods. I mean, on simply huge scale. And in return, the US has agreed to pull back on some of the tariffs it's imposed. And that's supposed to be the phase one deal. Now, I have to say, looking at this deal and reading a lot of the commentary, including some of the commentary of places like Bloomberg, the amounts of US goods that the Chinese have supposedly promised to buy or have said they will buy, the figures are so huge that they cannot possibly have any reality. They would completely upturn the whole nature of the trading relationship between the US and China. I mean, it would be, you have a situation where, Chinese imports, they just all go on a sort of straight line and they go boom up vertically. I mean, things just don't ever happen like that. And in fact, if you drill down into the small print of the agreement, you see that the Chinese will only actually act on these promises to buy these US goods on the scale that they say they will, provided it is commercially sensible for them. So that's their get-out clause. So they've appeared to commit themselves to massive purchases of US industrial goods, but I don't think it's going to happen on anything like the scale that this agreement implies. I mean, it isn't realistic, and virtually everybody who's looked at this, who understands trade negotiations, takes the same view. Now, I will say a few things. I think the Chinese will buy some American industrial goods. I think they will increase, step up aircraft imports, because at the moment, China's aircraft industry is still at a very early stage of development. There are reports that some of China's own domestic aircraft projects are running into all kinds of problems. And the attempt by China to develop a medium range narrow aircraft, a passenger aircraft, in the sort of class of the Boeing 737. Apparently, it's not going terribly well because the Chinese don't really have very much experience of building these sort of aircraft. The Russians have built are pretty forward with their own program, the MS-21, which is apparently a more advanced aircraft than the Chinese one. But there's no conceivable way that the Russians can build it in the kind of numbers that the Chinese need in any short-term situation scenario. So I think the Chinese will buy more aircraft from the US because they don't really have a choice. I think they will do it. But I think over time, all these massive purchases of Chinese goods will taper down. US goods will taper down. And can I just say, a further sign that this agreement shouldn't be taken too seriously is that the official the Chinese sent to sign this deal was not Xi Jinping or any of the top officials of China. It was a deputy prime minister who's not even, very high on the hierarchy at all. But, that's the reality, the economic reality. The politics, I think you have to see this as a success for Trump, because he's got from the Chinese a commitment to buy large quantities of US goods. He's got the phase one deal under his belt. He's also got a situation where he's able to say to his electoral base, I'm looking after your interests. I've got the Chinese to commit to buying more US goods. I've got the Chinese to commit committed to buying more US agricultural goods. I'm looking after you. So going forward into the 2020 election, I am the president who is able to look after your interests with China. Compare what I've achieved with what Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama all achieved, which was absolutely nothing. The Chinese, you know, piled into the American economy. They supposedly, obliterated U.S. industries. I've been able to hold the line on this. So I think politically, Donald Trump comes out actually rather well. And going forward to the 2020 election, he can use this actually quite successfully.
All right. So Donald Trump will use this, and no one's going to really get into the fine print like you said, the deal. He'll use the talking point. No one's going to really challenge him on the fine print that China can kind of pull back from its commitments if it wants to, like you said. And that's my first question. And my second question is, what did China get out of this? Did they get something politically outside of just, you know, the tariffs?
Okay. I mean, you're quite right. Very few people are going to be interested in the fine print. The fine print of
what about the Democrats, though? Would they be able to utilize it in some sort of political way that'll resonate? That's my point. That'll resonate with people.
I don't think they can. Firstly, we come back to what they said. I was saying they completely failed to deliver on any kind of trade deal with China at all. I mean, the Chinese were basically able to export however much they wanted to the US while Bill Clinton and Barack Obama were in the White House. So I don't think that they can do that. And besides, the Democrats have got themselves into the situation where they're basically criticizing the whole concept of Donald Trump's trade wars. They're constantly saying that, you know, these trade wars are protectionism. And protectionism is bad. Now, if you get yourself into that kind of position, how can you come round and say, well, this agreement that, you know, he's brokered with the Chinese is bad, is a bad agreement, because actually the Chinese will be able to continue to do all the bad things that they've been doing before, when you've been saying that those are good things? So I don't really see how the Democrats can actually capitalize on this. Politically, I think this is a straight win for Donald Trump. Once again, he's shown a much better understanding of what Americans care about than the Democrats do. I mean, he's shown to the American workers who vote for him that he cares about their jobs. He's shown to the American farmers who vote for him that he cares about their businesses. And I think they will compare that with the Democrats, who are coming up with inconsistent messages, and they will support him. I can't really see what other possible way it can work. Now, coming back to the Chinese, I think the Chinese have come to realize, I think they've come to understand over the last couple of years that this situation, which they had with the United States, in which they were basically selling whatever they wanted to the United States and piling into the US in a massive scale and buying huge amounts of US debt, that period is ended. And what this deal does is it reduces tariffs. It creates this ceasefire. It is a ceasefire, basically. And that will give China more time to gradually adjust and reorient its economy towards more, you know, domestic consumption and make it more inward looking and less export oriented. So from the Chinese point of view, they bought time and space to adjust their economy. For Donald Trump, it's put him in a very strong position come the election in 2020. And ultimately, I think that, you know, it does, in the end, it will take a long time. But, if you want to regenerate the US industrial base, I mean, you really start need to do things like this, because otherwise you are trying to compete with a China that will always outproduce you because its economies of scale are so enormous, so immense, and its costs are so much lower than yours. So, I think I've said this for a long time. I think both the Chinese and the Americans are looking towards a long-term economic divorce. This phase one deal advances that, and in the short term, it benefits overwhelmingly politically Donald Trump.
Is there a need for a phase two, real quickly, Alexander?
I wonder whether there ever will be a phase two. I mean, it's getting to phase one has been difficult enough. I wonder whether there will be a phase two, actually. Perhaps there will, but frankly, I don't think it's a priority for either country because, as I said, I think the two economies are going in different directions. I mean, people in the US are increasingly talking about China as an adversary. I read more and more articles about how the US and China are now pitched in a second Cold War. I think that'd be a very bad thing, by the way. I think that it would be a complete mistake to see things in those terms, in those kind of adversarial terms. But in terms of their economies, I think the point is now reached where China has outgrown the need for, being this great export machine, exporting primarily to the US, and needs to start developing its own domestic economy. And the US has outgrown the point where keeping its markets open to Chinese goods served any useful geopolitical or economic purpose. So I think these two great economies will move ever further apart.
All right, political capital is what Trump got, and China got time.
Exactly.
All
Exactly.
right.
Pretty good deal for both
Pretty
sides
good deal.
overall. Yeah.
All right, Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of The Deran, thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on that notifications bell to make sure you get notifications every time we publish a new video. Look for us on Patreon, Subscribestar, and PayPal. Donate to us. It really helps keep this channel moving, and we appreciate your donations. And also check us out on BitChute as well and duranvideo.com, where we post all our videos on those two platforms. And you can also find us on theduranshop.com, where you can purchase great magic mugs, great apparel. And when you purchase something from the Duran Shop, it really also helps out the channel. And Alexander, you have a magic mug with you. I see.
Indeed, I do. A magic mug, which I drink my tea from. It's been a freezing cold day, so I've been drinking Yorkshire tea, which is of course Indian based. It's based on teas that are imported from India, but it's one of these strong, heavy British teas that you drink with milk because they keep you warm on a cold January day in London, which is it can be really oppressively cold, but this is the perfect mug for drinking any kind of tea from. I've got lots of teas, as people know. I'm a great tea aficionado. I've drunk every conceivable tea you can think of: green teas, red teas, black teas, oolong teas. I've been drinking them from my magic mugs. I've also drunk coffee, and of course, on the other side, I've also drunk beer and once champagne. And it actually worked drinking champagne, which was a bit of a surprise, but it worked really well because one of the tests of a good mug is does it keep things either hot or cold? And the answer is that these mugs do. They keep them very warm for a very long time. So you don't get yourself a mug and find that your coffee or your tea has got cold before you drink it. And they're also incredibly light and strong, as you can see, very well balanced, beautiful to look at. Because they're beautifully made, wonderful porcelain. And I would quickly point out, I've had my mug for ages, and you see in what good condition it is, which is another sign of its very high quality. And it isn't just our mugs that are very high quality. All our shirts, they're 100% cotton. They're beautifully made. They're incredibly comfortable to wear. They are, as they said, this is the long-sleeved t-shirt. Which I'm also wearing because it's so cold. But we've also got short sleeve t-shirts, you've got v-neck shirts, we've got our very smart and elegant polo shirts, which I've worn to some, you know, very, very, very magnificent occasions. And you can also find other things. You can find hoodies, hats, and stickers. All these great things are there in our shop. You can own them if you want to go to our shop and buy them. You can buy them for your friends, and you support the Duran by doing so. So don't hold back. Go to our shop. Be the proud owner of these great things. Alex will tell you how.
Just go to theduranshop.com. All the links are in the description box down below. Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of The Duran, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.